This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Jenny hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
One hand on my chips, the other on my drink. It only comes when the waitress sees I'm gambling. The phone near my bed smells of wine and cigarettes from the other night when I called you up rambling. And I never claim to be no broken heart mender, but I just heard Elvis sing Love Me Tender. Meet me in Las Vegas, I've got to let you know I'm not the man who left you days ago. Meet me in Las Vegas, in this city of sin. And I don't care if I lose all my money, if I never lose you again.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It's Phil Pritchett here with you on the P2 Podcast. Coming to you from the hallowed halls of Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in Fort Worth, Texas. Broadcasting worldwide on your local radio stations, internet, on the World Wide Web to all the ships at sea. Whatever corner of the globe you may be lurking in, we are there for you all the time, as well as the P2 Podcast archives at p2podcast.com. Thrilled to be with you here today, folks. Thrilled to be with you. So much to discuss. The new year rolling along here. Good to be with you, everybody. Phil Pritchett here. Well, well, well. We put the word out at the last podcast, didn't we? You're still all shaking, quaking out there. The shockwaves are still being felt throughout P2 fandom. In this state and elsewhere, as last week we announced in no uncertain terms that April 2011 is Private Party April. Private Party April. That's right, you heard it, folks. Phil Pritchett, myself, will show up at your house for $500. We announced it last week. We're going to try to set aside as many dates as possible in April. If you just say, hey, man, Phil, 1 hour in my house, in my room, in my restaurant. He shows up with his guitar. He plays. He hangs out. $500. Oh, man, had a lot of emails on it. We've already booked several dates there in April. But dates remain. And don't forget, if you're looking at the Saturdays in April and you're thinking, gosh, I'm sure they're all booked already. You know, I already talked to this guy. He's already got them coming. Hey, man, they're all hour sets. It's designed to be able to play a couple of these things in a day if need be. So, you know, if you're like, hey, man, we're having a little party here with the guys and the gals on Saturday, I say, man, I'm booked that evening, but hey, how about that afternoon, or how about late that night, I'll come by, or something like that. We'll make it work. Taking it to the fans, April 2011, Private Party April. Gosh, just a booming title. Well, it sounds great in this room here. The spring reverb just going on forever. Oh, man. So excited about that. A lot of reaction. Thanks for your response there. Keep them coming, man. April's still a ways off. A lot of days to be booked. Look forward to talking to you. Email me, Phil at philpritchard.com, about Private Party April. Well, what else? If that isn't enough, as if that wasn't enough to have going on here, you find yourselves, folks, the podcast listener out there, in the throes of Owen Temple Month. Owen Temple Month. Isn't that so exciting? Man, you know, I said last year we had Owen come in, and the patron saint of the full band, Kevin Haggard, who tracks all website activity for me and the full band, the podcast, everything. He goes, man, what show was downloaded the most last year? I'm thinking, man, the Kurt South retrospective, the Pat Green interview, Pete Coatney hanging out, Gary P. Nunn coming in here, talking about writing London Homesick Blues. No. All of them a distant second to the Owen Temple show. Interesting, huh? Temple out there, man. He's worldwide. He and Adam Carroll. Of course, he brought Gary Floater to my attention. So exciting. So Owen will be back here in the second segment here to continue Owen Temple Month. We're going to talk this week with Owen about, you know, all the topics I love to talk about. Phil bitching to high hell about how things are these days. You know me, happy to good old day syndrome guy right here, Mr. Old School. Just talking about, man, talking about vinyl and stuff. Oh, man, but don't get me wrong, man. I am a tech-savvy dude, very much in the new era. But I take my shots to bemoan the state of things at times when I'm told to incessantly tweet and mess with my Facebook. Oh, I get a little pissed. What can I say? Well, I'm going to throw some of these little ideas and things that you hear me talk about, and Kurt South, and all the topics of the podcast. I'm going to throw some of these things at Owen Temple, see what his reaction is to some of them. Hey, man, we always talk about this. What's your take on this? What's your take on self-promotion and the internet and, you know, shameless spamming your fans all the time? And we'll see what he says. So Owen will be here in our second segment. Oh, man, you know me, I'm out there. Thanks for coming to the shows, by the way, everybody. It's good to see everybody. Hope your holiday was well, went well. Out there a lot. God, I've got a lot of dates going on here, a lot of recording projects. We got Brian Joyner coming in here, Seth Jones coming in here. We just got through with Kelly Cordova and the whole Shooting Matches record here at Trinidad. If you're in a band, call me, 817-733-5256. Come record at Trinidad, man. It's hot, happening. Oh, man, loving it. And I'll sing background vocals on all your songs, if you want me to. Put that tasteful tambourine on there. Play that wicked solo, that sloppy, feely solo that your song needs. Phil is here for you. Well, you know, I'm also running the family. I'm a family guy. Oh, everybody has a good laugh at my expense. I'll just tell you right now, I got 5 kids. Did you hear what I just said? 5 children. I was like, what does that mean, Phil? You including your band in that? No, 5 kids. Phil, I'm a big family guy. You know what? I got kids everywhere. They're tearing up the house. It's great. It's great. I love it. But, man, a couple of them are young. My boys are young. So, man, you know what that means. I talked about it on a previous podcast where the time change, you understand, setting the clocks back. Or was it? No, yeah, back. Fall back, right? Oh, I've never recovered. You know, the kids were getting up about 6. You know, the baby was getting up like 6 o'clock. Not too bad. Set the clocks back. Well, guess what? The baby gets up at 5. That's all that means. He's on God's time. Or are we back on God's time? I don't know. So that means, as I have with all the other kids, I get up at 4:45. 5. I'm in the den with the kiddos. Let me tell you what, man. Can I take a minute here to get off a little bit off? We're going to talk music the whole rest of the show here with Owen and everything. Can I just take a shot at today's cartoons? I want everyone to hear me out there. Old School Phil, good old days syndrome, P2, how you doing here? Man, I mean, the Looney Tunes and all that, they were around before I was born. Believe it or not! Those are from way back, man, 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, Tom and Jerry. That's what we all grew up on, right? More or less. And you know what? You know what strikes me about these cartoons? I come in here, I turn on the cartoons in the morning, you know, for the kids, and I see what's on. You got Disney Channel, you got, you know, KERA, you know, PBS type stuff. And dude, these shows beat me into submission, man. And dude, I've become an expert. I've seen every episode of Dora the Explorer, Handy Manny, the computerized Mickey Mouse things, Special Agent Oso. Oh my gosh. And let me tell you, as a result of that, I can speak Spanish and recycle with the best of them. I can share with friends like you've never seen in your life, which is all well and good, okay? I mean, no, there's been studies, okay? That's what they keep telling me anyway. There's studies saying that cartoon violence, you know, makes kids more aggressive, or it makes them more insensitive to hurting people. You know, Elmer Fudd used to just blow the beak off Daffy Duck or something. Or, every time Jerry drops an anvil on Tom's head, right? That somehow has warped us all, that my generation and yours are all the worse for it. Who knows, man? Who knows? All I know is this. These new cartoons are not the least bit and aren't designed to be funny at all. Remember humor? In the name of goodness, the only reason we watched the Roadrunner and the Coyote was it was funny. He went off the cliff. He was still running for a minute. He holds up the sign, don't look down, and then he drops, you know, has a precipitous fall to his would-be his death were he not a cartoon. A puff of smoke later, he's mounting a rocket. He's right back on the horse, chasing down the Roadrunner. It was funny. And you know what? A while back, I can't remember what we were watching, but there was an old Foghorn Leghorn came on. You know, our son, the chicken hawk. Going after the dog, messing with the dog and all that. I mean, just getting hit in the face with a board. And, dude, my kids, my oldest kids and my youngest, were just sitting in front of the TV, mesmerized, just cackling. I mean, at first they're like, oh, it's Dad, what's this dumb show? I was like, oh, y'all might like it. Check it out. These are old cartoons, you know, when I was a kid. And my wife and I just looked at each other. The kids were dying laughing. We never hear them laugh watching these modern cartoons, man. They're just so dull, man. It's just, hola, that means hello. There's just a long pause. Just, let's do math. Math is fun. I'm just sitting there. I can't drink enough coffee over there on the couch. I'm just going, oh, this is horrible. You know, the first real show to, like, try and educate the children, was Sesame Street. But, man, I love Sesame Street. Because let me tell you what, they do educate. You can get the letter of the day. The number of the day, you know. But it's funny. I mean, Bert and Ernie are funny. They're kind of like the Odd Couple, you know? Ernie drives Bert crazy. He wants everything all orderly, and Ernie's just, you know. It's good stuff. It's entertaining. I can sit there and go, yeah, Bert and Ernie, that's pretty funny. Cookie Monster is funny. Oscar the Grouch is hilarious. There's educational parts of Sesame Street, but they got the good guest, you know, they'll have Oprah or REM or somebody will be on a segment. Sesame Street's entertaining. I can sit there and watch Sesame Street and I go, yeah, it's informative, but it's also very funny. Man, these other shows that seek to be, all about, you know, sharing and recycling and speaking Spanish, all great things to do, okay? But, man, they are not the least bit funny at all. They don't even try to be. And I just envision these boardrooms of these executives. Just, we got this new show. It's about this bear with a jetpack. Special Agent Oso. You know, he flies around, and we need to go help Kimmy. She needs to tie her shoe. And he got just like, ah. He shows up, and y'all know this bear, he's my least favorite at this point. I've only just noticed how much he angers me every morning. Special Agent Oso. He's a bear. He pauses and just stares at the camera forever. Just, do you see a red shoe? And it's just like right next to his head. He's just, do you? Do you see a red shoe? I'm sitting here, I'm on my fifth cup of coffee. Just, I want to throw my cup into the screen. It's right next to you, you idiot. Oh, there it is. You know, it, ugh. And my kids aren't interested in it. They don't laugh. They don't learn anything. It's just, it's so hopeless, man. I'm just like, you know what? If someone would just drop a brick on that bear's head, we'd have something here. My kids would be laughing. It'd be kind of funny. How come he can't, I don't know, fall into a bucket of water and, you know, or get his head smashed in a vice or something like that? I don't. Is that making me bad? Email me. What happened? You know, I was reading some stuff online about there's been a real drop-off in cartoon violence is really what this comes down to. Since 2001, they've just been an outcry, study after study, violence. And, man, it has dropped off. And but, you know, that cartoon violence, where that came from was all the old slapstick stuff. Abbott and Costello, the Three Stooges. That is funny stuff, dude. Am I right? And what are they doing, man? They're smacking each other in the face. The Three Stooges, just getting hit over the head with a monkey wrench was humor. And it was funny. No one looks at the Three Stooges and says, that's warping our American minds. Do they? Maybe they do. I'm sure they do, somebody. But, man, at the end of the deal is it's entertainment. It's funny. It was something the whole family could watch and enjoy. I feel that way. But these shows now, man, they're just brightly colored, and they're just so educational and it just drives me crazy, man. It's just the blandest, dumbest crap I've ever seen, by and large. Tell me I'm wrong. Phil@philpritchett.com. Oh, man. Well, you heard me talking about it earlier. Owen Temple month is upon us. Owen Temple month! And that can only mean one thing, that out there rummaging through the refrigerator right now, looking for a little food, getting himself a cup of coffee, our good old friend Owen Temple is going to walk in here and tell you what's going on. He's going to respond to some of the things we say a lot here on the podcast. We'll see what he has to say next.
Again. These hotels are all the same. They only change their names. I've seen a million as I walk every mile. Maybe I'm the only one in here who thinks it's phony how the dealer tries to pass off a smirk for a smile.
And I fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you in high-definition audio or something quite like it. To all the ships at sea, to all the people all over the world, to celebrate this thing we call life on Earth, and to try to add a little perspective to it, to try and enlighten your musical life, talking about business, music, technology, film, life in general, man, and all things that entails. To help us do that today, returning for his second week in a row, we couldn't be more thrilled to have him here, the man who brought Gary Floater to my attention, and now enriches all Phil Pritchett and the Full Band fans out there, listening to Dirty South, etc., and the antics of Gary Floater. He has brought this to my attention, and man, that just buys you a long life on the P2 Podcast. He's back here this week. Please welcome. Owen Temple is back.
Good to be with
you. Owen, so good to see you again, man.
Good to be with you, my friend, Phil.
How's the new year treating you, man? The new year, how's it working out so far?
Happy new year. You can't bring me down from my holiday high.
That's right. That sounds like a song.
And so I'm just, 2011. Let's do it.
Let's do it, man. What have you seen? What have you seen out there of late, man? You're out there playing, booking yourself, making your own records. What seems to be working? What seems to be not working? What seems to be changing? Anything strike you on that level?
You know, let me think about that, Phil. There's a lot of changes to the music industry.
Well, as we all know.
And it's been fun. You know, I don't know. I think the folks that do get out to the shows are really enjoyable people. You know,
that's right.
I guess the ones that aren't as enjoyable are staying home watching House.
That's right.
You know,
and other entertainment. You know, we talked about this a lot on several podcasts. Now you play more the listening rooms. You know, a lot of the listening rooms. You know, my band and I still will venture into a lot of sports bars and play near the dartboard.
You
know, we still get stuff like that. You know, We talked about, I was really turned off at a Springsteen show where he played solo acoustic at Nokia.
Yeah.
And, man, he did this big rant starting off the show about cell phones. He didn't want to see one. He didn't want to hear one. He's
going
to throw it through the deal. I remember kind of thinking, man, what a jerk. You know what? My phone ring's going to be all pissed. Mm-hmm. Come on. And, man, I find myself at shows now that's one of the biggest things I really notice, especially in a crowded kind of – I'm not talking like a listening room type deal. But, man, people are really – you know, they're like me. I guilty as charged myself. You know, you're looking down, you get a text. What the hell's going on? And I find that sometimes it's harder to get people's attention even at the gig. Have you seen anything like that in your
That's
experience?
That's pretty interesting. I haven't.
No, Phil, everyone's riveted to whatever I'm doing.
No.
So,
I'm with you. I'm right there with you, man. I know what you mean because I'm peeking at mine too while I'm at the gig, and then I'm realizing, wait, plan this all week to get here. Here I am. You know, on this window to the world here.
Trying to figure out what's coming up next week.
Exactly. Oh, that's going
to
be great.
You got to live in the moment.
Can't wait to get to that show next week.
Maybe we can incorporate our email checking and texting into our show. Just rhythmically typing into the mic, you know, just hold on. Let me tell my wife I made it here safely, you know.
Hold on. Everybody just chill. I'm going to text.
My drummer is at home. He's going to text me in time. Just bzzz. As I'm playing this next song.
Well, what's that girl that played Granada Theater this year? Amanda Palmer?
Yeah, well, she's a big techie.
She's
tech
a text,
savvy.
Yeah. So I think actually they had like hashtags and all that stuff projected on the screen there, which is, you know, if that's
involving the
crowd. That's her art, you know, part of her art. So
her art is the technology. Yeah, I read.
I don't see Twitter getting into my show just in 2011 yet.
No. But Amanda Palmer, she's an interesting case. Something like she made $100,000 in like 5 minutes. She texted like, "Hey, I've got these T-shirts. First, whatever it was, you know." I think it might have been she did a vinyl release with her new album on vinyl. Then the other was her with a ukulele doing Radiohead songs or something crazy. Mm-hmm. But there were only like, you know, she only made 1,000 of them.
Okay.
And she just said, "Man, they're $100 first." 1,000 gets them right out the door, no problem. Yeah. And just ding, 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 she sold them all. Her fans just snatched them up in an instant.
Wow.
That's 100, something like that. I'm just like, wow, man, that is unbelievable.
She, you know, she shares a lot, and she's, you know, I think she might have even hired a cello player through Twitter for each show, you know.
Yeah.
She like had auditions or something.
Yeah. Do you play into your, and she,
yeah,
really?
I think it was YouTube. And it may have been another artist. but, yeah.
I just wonder what my question is always just how important is that stuff? I mean, you know, you're always like, man, you know, it's all about the song and stuff. You wonder, man, is it enough? You know, is it just enough to go out and play a great song? Like, you know, these bands that like OK Go, you know, or something, or Amanda Palmer, all talented, but you're kind of like, well, they had this funny video that got the attention. They're on treadmills and stuff, and she's putting tweets on there. There's kind of a gimmick to it. I don't mean that in a cynical way. Like,
it's just something remarkable about it.
Band like The Shins had songs in that movie Garden State. There's some point of reference. There's some context for the song that people say, oh, what's that band? I forget their name. Who did all the vampire? You know.
Empire.
Oh gosh, come on! All the horny housewives love it.
Twilight stuff.
Yeah, Twilight stuff.
Yeah.
Muse, the band Muse, did a lot of the music for those, and now they're selling out arenas. You're like, well, their music was attached to this other cultural juggernaut. And I'm not saying that's good or bad.
Sure.
But it seems to be that some of these successful acts who have been able to kind of break through, you're kind of like, well, but they've attached it to some kind of a unique deal. I don't know. Is there anybody out there making waves just by locking themselves in a cabin and writing some record?
I don't know. Yeah, you know.
You know.
I know what you mean by the word gimmick. I mean, it sounds like you're dismissing it, but you're not, because you're saying there's just some extra feature besides just the music.
A unique way to inspire your audience.
No, I think you're right. And I think, you know, music does have to be remarkable. There's 11 million songs on iTunes.
Is that right?
I didn't know that.
You counted them up one day?
No. They've got if you go to like iTunes, the information page, it'll tell you there's 11 million.
Oh, is that right?
But then you can get a calculator, solar powered calculator.
Yeah, right? It's solar powered.
So that's green. So there's
very environmentally sound.
Oh, so it's green.
You don't have one you plug
in. You can put in 11 million.
Yeah.
And then you hit Okay. Divide it by what, 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Is that the average song length?
Something.
So let's divide it by 3 minutes. Multiply it.
How many years is that?
Let's multiply it by 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And then let's figure out how many years it would take to listen.
See, now I need a calculator. What do you have? That
I've got it. 76 years. If you start listening now,
okay,
at the end of 76 years,
so our children could listen to everything.
You will have listened to all the 11 million songs that were on iTunes at this date.
Now, if they don't,
now if they add any more songs to it, you're going to need to.
Our kids will not live long enough to hear them all.
That's right. So,
freeze it now.
Do we have enough? Yeah. Songs, you know.
I don't know.
I think if a song changes someone's life or even changes someone's day, then it probably needs to.
But
be.
How many
it
those,
needs to be.
How many of those start though with just a nice guy strumming a G chord? I mean, how many of those are there? I mean, because I try to make my mark, you see, just a nice
the
little
G chord.
That's right. Oh man, I bet a few. I bet a few of them go G, C, and D. What do you think?
You know, there's the G, C, D. You know, that's what you need. And but this podcast. Hey man, I think you're marketing. This is not a gimmick. This is remarkable.
Well, thank you,
and enjoyable.
Well, man, it's only been remarkable as the guests I can have on here. I appreciate it. Well, you're listening to Owen Temple, my good friend Phil Pritchett here with you on the Pete Sue Podcast. Thrilled you're with us today, folks. Delighted catching up on the new year with one of Texas's great singer songwriters. We go way back, man, way back. Well, what else is there? You know, some of this technology stuff I've gotten really into. I feel like, now this is just me. This is my gut feeling here. And tell me if you've sensed this at all. I feel like I'm starting to see the very beginnings, the very indications. I feel it certainly of kind of a backlash, not a backlash against the internet. I'm not saying that, but this constant pressure of musicians to say, man, you've just got to be emailing your fans night and day, texting them night and day, Facebook updates, status updates constantly. I feel like I've seen people, just on my Facebook page, guys that used to just always be blowing me up. Oh, my God, this guy's just online all the time. Some of the early wave of Facebook adopters have really started to drop off. They just kind of go, man, I kind of got tired of it. I don't do much anymore. Some bands I noticed that used to just always be up, man, this guy's on the cutting edge, man, he's just tweeting a night and day, have just dropped way back. And I'm always just putting the spurs to myself. Hey, man, I got to get out there and do more online. I just kind of say, hey, man, here's what we're playing tonight. Make it if you can. Love to see everybody. If someone writes me a personal, hey, man, great show the other night, I'll respond instantly. That's always nice to do. My roundabout point is I had an old eccentric guitar player, Reed Easterwood. Do you ever know Reed from Dallas?
I knew him.
Jack
for
a long time.
Yeah.
Real eccentric, you know, kind of an out there kind of dude.
Mm-hmm.
But he saw right at the beginning all this technology thing. He said, man, I think in the future, and I've never forgotten this, he said, I think in the future the biggest, most desired commodity will not be money or gold. It will be privacy, anonymity, not being in the computer, not being trackable by devices and things. That'll be really valued by someone. Now, a lot of dudes out there in the woods living in a trailer with a shotgun and a pit bull will say the same thing.
Yeah.
So I grant you that. However, I wonder, you know, if the newest, biggest act to come out maybe in the next 10 years, some guy that sells a billion downloads or something crazy, some teenager in Michigan or something, maybe he's not just all over YouTube just exposing himself in any way he can think possible. Maybe he's a recluse. Maybe he's a guy you can't get to. You can't get an interview.
Right.
He doesn't have a Facebook page. Would the intrigue build? Would that be part of his appeal maybe? I don't know.
Right. What would Bob Dylan do right after the motorcycle accident?
Well,
if there was Twitter.
Everyone says, man, that's a bygone era. Man, that's a bygone era.
That's true.
You know, now it's all about not being interesting and reclusive. It's about just being out there in your face, man.
But I wonder
if that backfires some point.
You know, it makes me think of the bass player that you were talking about that plays all the notes on the 8-string fretless. You know, it's the notes you don't play.
Yeah, that's right.
That make it, wow, that bass player's great.
Yeah, right.
So I would say, like, it's my idea, because as a consumer of that stuff too, because I see the tweets and the status updates, and the people that I try to follow are the people that, you know, share something interesting.
Right, right.
You know,
exactly.
Don't share what your breakfast was, unless your breakfast was really interesting.
Interesting, that's right.
But yeah, you know, I think it's the same way a musician, it's they're judged for the notes they don't play.
Mm-hmm.
And the notes they do play are just the right ones, just the right times. I think, you know, a certain way, if you're going to share with your people,
sure.
You know, don't burn them out on, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
every single thing you're
maybe
doing.
Maybe some self-editing.
They say
is good.
Subtlety is a lost art. I've always said subtlety is art. Art is something that's a little, you can't quite pin it down, you know? It's like reading The Road by Cormac McCarthy. It's just a little, like, what is it?
Yeah, right. Well, you want to talk about The Road, like a wasteland?
Yeah.
Log into MySpace sometime.
Yeah. Oh,
well, go into that bombed out, self-promoted.
Crater.
Now, that's one thing. It tells me what doesn't work on that stuff.
What?
Self-promotion and not an interesting self-promotion.
Right.
I mean.
See, I feel like, and here's the kind of coming around to my Facebook point. Everyone goes, my Facebook's different and stuff, and in so many ways it is. Okay, I understand. But I feel like we've already kind of lived through the MySpace deal, and I feel like, you know what? We'll live through the Facebook deal. It'll start to just, people will just start to, just like MySpace, people just stopped being active on it. People stopped caring how many friends you had. People started to see that, oh, the same people are writing me dumb messages all the time. The stats are all meaningless. They're all riggable. And Facebook is, I see them fighting to not be that. But it just is.
That force.
It just is. It just sucks
is dragging,
it down.
Yeah.
Once everybody's on there, what's the value of being on there? It's just kind of like you and me, when we first started, having a owentemple.com, a website devoted to yourself, like philpritchard.com. I told someone this the other day, I go, man, I got posts. I just had a message board. There wasn't a Facebook or an outlet for anybody.
Yeah.
So people would just just write stuff on there all the time. Man, Phil, you suck. Or, hey, Phil, great show the other night.
Yeah.
Or, hey, did you cut your hair? It's all kinds of crazy stuff. And I said, man, it was a place that some of our fans could go and leave something on. Now everybody has that. There's nothing special about being on Facebook. Or anything. So you're just kind of like,
well, I don't know.
I mean,
being a spammer doesn't pay.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's right.
And those, yeah, it's too bad that they've kind of, you know, spammers kind of ruin these channels that we get. But, you know, I don't know. I think Facebook's, they've got those ways to hide posts. I mean, it takes a little bit of savvy, you know, to.
And it's definitely a nice, quick way to reach your existing fan base, I guess. Well, everybody goes, man, well, John Mayer's got a million people following him, or billions. I'm like, but he already has a billion people. I've always contested the view that a band can build their influence through Facebook.
No, I'm just kind
of like, dude, if you got 100
there's
fans.
There's the insight.
I said, if you got 100 fans, they're all going to be on Facebook, plus about 1,000 people you don't know. But it's a good way to reach your 100. Your existing 100 fans. Good way to say, hey, we're playing tomorrow night. That's great. But you're not going to say, man, this guy went from 100 people on Facebook to 2,000 in 2 weeks. How can we also get that kind? I'm just like, dude, it's meaningless. I don't know.
What it's useful for is kind of connecting your real. The social network is not Facebook. The social network are the people you see and interact with.
Facebook's just like the telephone. It's just, it's not, you know.
I agree with you that you cannot grow online. You have to grow offline and maybe stay in touch online.
You stay in touch, certainly, with your family. And that's what I seek to do. But, I think just in MySpace got into this. Just how many people are your friends? I mean, some band that opened for us would just have like 48,000 followers and you're just like, well, I mean, there's a service you can sign up for where you get 1,000 friends a week. There was just all these ways to
scams,
you know, and show that you had 10,000 plays in a day on your MySpace player.
Yeah.
And it was just, guys were just spending all this time. And I'm like, how many songs do y'all have?
Well, we got T-Bone Burnett says Fort Worth, great Fort Worth.
Yeah, oh, T-Bone Burnett, huge
he
fan.
He says, if I were a new artist today, I would stay off the internet.
Is that right? Well, I take that. Heavy. I take that with though, he's kind of old, though, so I don't know if that just means he's out of touch.
He's being provocative.
Right.
But I think what his points are.
Prince is taking all this stuff down. He's not online anymore.
He's being provocative, but his idea is he doesn't like MP3s.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like MP3s.
Well, he's developed his own company called Core, which is like
analog,
better quality than CD.
Right.
He won't tell anybody what he's invested in his own money.
So he's got a motive, you know.
But
I think he also makes another point that it's about the self-promoting.
Right.
And really, I think, you know, I think he makes a point that let your fans
do your
you know, you share
do your marketing.
You play your shows. You make your music. if your fan, if it's really good, believe me, you're not going to need to tell people. You know, your right. fans will tell.
That's
tell
right.
So, you just, that's I mean, that's right. kind of a, for, gives it, I mean, for the artist that's wondering, yeah. how can I manage all these yeah. online services? It's like, maybe don't.
Yeah.
You know, maybe play songs, write songs.
Right.
And, you know, stay in touch with the people that seek you.
Right. Absolutely.
But, you know, don't go
respond,
adding,
respond to every email. Yeah, respond. Yeah.
That's
hey, man,
manners.
You're great.
That's just manners.
Yeah, yeah. Good manners. Thank you for listening. But yeah, you know, we focus on our music, you know, and
it's probably healthier.
I think that's what the internet can do. Of course, is people, you know, people can just share stuff, but yeah, the artist can't be the guy kicking it down the road.
There's a trust problem when someone says, my new stuff's great.
Instead of viral marketing, that's just hype is what that is.
I think it is. And attention is too scarce these days to waste it on hype.
Oh, and so we're just going to leave it at that for this segment here. Hype. No hype, man. If you're good enough, let your audience, let your believers, your tribe do the testifying. Am I right? Huh. Owen Temple, thrilled you were here today with us, man.
Man, always good to catch up. And
great holiday wishes. We know it's going to be a great 2011. Damn it, let's play some shows this year.
Amen,
let's
brother.
Let's just go into some bar somewhere, and we'll just play for like three
just
hours.
Just take it over, yeah.
Yeah. Just drink till we fall off the stools.
Say, hey, I'm gonna go ahead and dismiss the staff early.
Yeah.
We got it from here. Me and Phil got it.
We're going to wait. While Owen's playing a song, I'll bring you a beer.
Yeah.
We'll staff it out.
I'm sorry, your burger is your next.
Well, you know, I've thought about that. I just go, man, I want to, because we play band shows all the time. I play solo all the time. But I don't do the song, you know, I'm a little jealous when I see Adam Carroll and Owen Temple out doing shows. I'm like, man, I wish I could come play. I'm not expensive.
Come on.
You
come
know?
On. Come
we'll
on.
Do some in 2012. So look for that out there, fans. Well, coming up next, of course, is The Vault. I'm going to blindfold myself, stagger over to the wall of vinyl records, put my hands on an album, pull it out, and then we're going to discuss whether it needs to be taking up an honorable place in your collection in the vault next. Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Thrilled to be with you today, folks. Delighted as always. Send us all your questions, comments, gripes, and complaints. Phil@philpritchett.com. Or heck, just call me. My phone's sitting here right in front of me. 817-733-5256 to come record at the studio or to come or to have Phil Pritchett and the full band come play for you. And remember, April is Private Party April. Pick out a day, man. Any day of the week, $500, I'll show up and play. That's the deal, 2011. That's how we're kicking it off, man. Get used to it. Well, 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 who do we have in the vault today? Billy Squire. Oh, this is a fascinating story. A great, interesting career here for Billy Squire. You know this song, man. Stroke Man, Stroke Man. Ubiquitous 80s rock and roll. Billy Squire, I think he's a Massachusetts guy. He's from up there somewhere. A rocker, you know, started learning. He was kind of a prodigy kind of guy, playing guitar when he was like 16 and all that. He started, his first solo record was, he was in a band called Piper for a while, which was associated with the band Kiss at the time, late 70s. He opened for Kiss a lot, his band Piper. He went solo. This album's called Don't Say No. I don't think this was his first record. This might have been his second album. He wanted Brian May to produce it, interestingly enough. You know Brian May, the big-haired guy, guitar player for Queen. Great guitar player. Wanted Brian May to produce it, but Brian May was too busy, so he pointed him in the direction of Reinhold Mack, who had produced The Game, the great album from Queen. You know, another one, Bites the Dust. You know, you hear a lot of those elements production-wise on this album. Oh, when we think of the 80s, man, everybody just wants to think of Flock of Seagulls and Madonna. Dude, the 80s is full of great rockin' stuff, man, if you know where to look and if you remember correctly. And you're honest with yourself, it was a great era, man. So this record, Don't Say No, Billy Squire, man, Telecaster, long hair, sweating, just a rocker, dude. And this is one of my favorite songs on the record. It's the first song. It just, you want to talk about an intro here to start off a record and then just comes in. In the dark, man. I mean, just the chorus is just soars, man. If someone came in the studio with this song today, I wouldn't know what to say. I'd just fall down on the ground and start crying. Billy Squire, In the Dark. This record, Don't Say No, by Billy Squire. In the vault today, that was In the Dark, the lead track, the first track from that record. Man, he had a string of hits here in the 80s. This record was huge, man. 4 million copies sold. And man, he got videos on MTV. I think his next album was Emotions in Motion. Also a huge hit. That had the cover art by Andy Warhol, the blue and pink, a picture of him, Billy Squire. That album had a Everybody Wants You. You know what I'm talking about. That was the next record after this one. So he had a big string of hits. Well, man, he finally puts out this record. I can't remember the name of the album. But he puts out this video, man, directed by none other than Kenny Ortega. You know him? He does these high school musical things. He's a director. He directs Billy Squire, this hard rocking dude, cool guy, directs him in this video for his new single, a big single called Rock Me Tonight. It's a famous music story. Billy Squire, rock and roll, denim, sweaty, Telecaster, like we've been saying. And all of a sudden he does this video for his new record, Rock Me Tonight, with Kenny Ortega of Xanadu fame and High School Musical. Of course, he did that later. He's got Billy Squire in a pink tank top prancing around a bedroom with leg warmers, singing Rock Me Tonight. That was just the end of Billy Squire's career. End of story. Done. This was 84, I guess, or something. You know, it was Flashdance around. It was, you know, that whole let's get physical. All that stuff was going on. Just the dumbest video you've ever seen. It's frequently listed on VH1 worst videos of all time or something. I mean, it'd be like Tom Petty, you know, when he comes out with Running Down a Dream, Full Moon Fever. You're like, sweet man, I've seen hear it on the radio, just Running Down a Dream. You turn on MTV and he's doing cartwheels in a tutu. And he's serious about it. He just goes, hey, I'm just expressing a part of myself. You know, you'd just be like, dude. I mean, he'd be done. He'd just be done. Every record after that video for Billy Squire just sold in the hundreds of thousands. I mean, he had no other platinum albums. So it's always fascinating to me, man. I'm just like, God, he just fell off the face of the earth. You can got to YouTube that Rock Me Tonight. But hey, back to more glorious times for our guy Billy Squire, because he's still great, man. He's still great. It's in him. My Kind of Lover. But don't say no. Billy Squire, Don't Say No. Check it out, man. A great record, man. Start to finish. Rock and roll, early 80s, before he put on the pink tank top and the leg warmers and started dancing around. You know, rock video made a lot of people, but it destroyed just as many, I think. Oh, poor Billy, man. He's still out there playing. He still comes and plays clubs. He's out there playing, man, doing his deal. Hopefully he saves some of that money. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks to Owen Temple and the continuation of Owen Temple Month for sharing his views on all the stuff we talk about on the podcast so frequently. He will be returning next week, Owen Temple, in our middle segment. So look forward to that. Remember that April 2011 is Private Party April. So pick a date out in April. It can be a Monday, Sunday, Friday. Call me, Phil, 817-733-5256. Let me know what date we're going to do it. $500, I show up and play. It's as simple as that. Also, email me, Phil at philpritchett.com. Come to the studio and record, as so many of you have. Bless you all. It's what we want to do. Record your records, whether you're a pro or an amateur or having fun, whatever. And we want to play at your house, man. A gig, rocking it out for the private party is what we're all about, man. Well, we will see you next week, folks. Owen Temple will be returning. We'll talk more about life, music, etc., and hopefully enlighten you on your journey through these uncertain musical times. It's what we try to do here every week on the P2 Podcast. It is you who keeps it alive. Send me all your comments, of course. PhilPritchett.com. Take care, folks. We'll see you next week. Much tougher.
And your mind is not your own.